May the Lord help us to commence our worship with hymn 634. When saints together meet, God's goodness to declare, the season will be sweet if Jesus be but there. Of Christ they speak, of Christ they boast, while Jesus lives, they can't be lost. Singing from the heart, hymn 634.
From the Holy Word of God, we'll read together the book of Job, chapter 19. Job Job chapter 19. Then Job answered and said, "How long will ye vex my soul and break me in pieces with words? These 10 times have ye reproached me. Ye are not ashamed that ye make yourselves strange to me. And be it indeed that I have erred, mine error remaineth with myself. If indeed ye will magnify yourselves against me, and plead against me my reproach, know now that God hath overthrown me, and hath compassed me with his net. Behold, I cry out of wrong, but I am not heard. I cry aloud, but there is no judgment. He hath fenced up my way that I cannot pass, and he hath set darkness in my paths. He hath stripped me of my glory, and taken the crown from my head. He hath destroyed me on every side, and I am gone. And mine hope hath he removed like a tree. He hath also kindled his wrath against me, and he counteth me unto him as one of his enemies. His troops come together, and raise up their way against me, and encamp round about my tabernacle. He hath put my brethren far from me, and mine acquaintance are verily estranged from me. My kinsfolk have failed, and my familiar friends have forgotten me. They that dwell in mine house, and my maids, count me for a stranger. I am an alien in their sight. I called my servant, and he gave me no answer. I entreated him with my mouth. My breath is strange to my wife. Though I entreated for the children's sake of mine own body. Yea, young children despised me. I arose, and they spake against me. All my inward friends abhorred me, and they whom I loved are turned against me. My bone cleaveth to my skin and to my flesh, and I am escaped with the skin of my teeth. Have pity upon me, have pity upon me, O ye my friends, for the hand of God hath touched me. Why do ye persecute me as God, and are not satisfied with my flesh? O that my words were now written! O that they were printed in a book! That they were graven with an iron pen and lead in the rock for ever! For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God, whom I shall see for myself, and mine eyes shall behold, and not another, though my reins be consumed within me. But ye should say, why persecute we him, seeing the root of the matter, is found in me. Be ye afraid of the sword, for wrath bringeth the punishments of the sword, that ye may know there is a judgment. May God bless that reading of his holy word. May he teach us how to pray. Most kind and gracious and almighty Lord God in heaven, we thank thee for this opportunity to meet together around thy word in this house of prayer. And Lord, we do thank thee that we can meet, though in these restricted way. We return thanks, Lord, for thy mercy in opening the doors of the chapels again. And we pray, Lord, that thou wilt continue to favour us with this privilege. Lord, we meet and we are aware of the rise in the cases of the coronavirus. Lord, thy judgments are still upon us as a land and nation, and the nations of the earth. And we pray that in this rise in cases and the prospect of further restrictions imposed upon us, that it may please thee, Lord, to spare us this privilege of gathering together in this house of prayer. May we not take it for granted. Lord, we often take things for granted, and for this we ask for thy forgiveness. Lord, do spare us then this privilege. And Lord, we pray that as we meet here this evening, that we may value and esteem the service of thy house. We may come with a heart made willing to worship thee. We come, Lord, to worship, to render unto thee the cause of our lips, to Lord, to praise thee for all thy many mercies, and to worship the one true living God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Oh, we do pray then, help us to worship this evening from an honest heart. Lord, we do pray that we may not mock thee in our assembly, but Lord, that thou would have all the preeminence, that thou would get to thyself all the honour and glory due to thy holy name. Humble us before thee, we pray, most gracious God, and pour out thy Spirit upon us, we humbly beg. Lord, we pray that in our meeting here this evening, we may know thy presence and thy blessing. Oh, we do thank thee, Lord, that thou art not bound by anything. And oh, we do pray that thou would visit us here this evening with thy presence. For thou hast promised that where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst. Lord, may we know and feel that thou art with us. So help us, we pray. Oh, that thou wilt send out thy light and thy truth, that thou wilt clothe thy word with power, that thou wilt do us good in thy good pleasure, and build thou the walls of Jerusalem. Grant, Lord, that there might be a portion for 7, and also for 8. O Lord, send us not empty away this evening. Meet, Lord, the expectation of those that are gathered here this evening by graciously supplying all their needs according to thy riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Reveal thyself, we pray, dear Lord Jesus, in thy person and work. Grant, Lord, that those who long and hunger and thirst after thee might be satisfied even this night. Lord, we do pray that thou will come and make the place of thy feet glorious and bless us indeed. Lord, may we go home, Lord, with something to take home, something remaining, something abiding. Lord, may thy word this night be that good seed, and may our hearts be that good ground. May we receive something in faith, and bless it, Lord, to the good of our never-dying souls. Lord, we live on the brink of a never-ending eternity. Lord, we know not what a day nor an hour may bring forth. Lord, thy judgments are indeed going forth throughout our land. May we not belittle the judgment that is upon us. Lord, many are casting doubt upon it. Oh, may we not be taken up with these worldly things. But Lord, may we truly humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God. Oh, that we might hear the voice which is in these things. Lord, may those questions be asked within each heart. How stands the case, my soul, with thee? For heaven are thy credentials clear. Lord, we pray, make clear to each one of us, Lord, our interest in that finished work of the dear Lord Jesus Christ. May we have a portion, an inheritance among the children of God. May we be washed in that precious blood shed for sinners. And Lord, we pray that thou clothe us with that robe of righteousness. Lord, keep us from clinging to our own filthy rags. But may we look to thee to supply that wedding garment. Oh, to be made right and to be made ready for that great and solemn day. And may that day be a day of rejoicing for us each. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Lord, may we not be amongst those that are calling for the rocks and the mountains to cover them. Oh, but may we be looking up in expectation of the coming Saviour. Lord, who bless us then, and grant us, Lord, that knowledge of thee, that personal knowledge, that thou art our Saviour and our friend. A friend that sticketh closer than the brother, that loveth at all times. We're poor sinners, Lord. Thou knowest we need thy gracious help this evening. One to speak, others to hear. Bless this assembly. Bless each, Lord, who have come into this place and those that might be listening in. And we do pray, Lord, that thou wilt meet each case and touch each heart and fit and suit thy word, Lord, that it might be food for our souls. Oh Lord, maybe there's words of correction which we are in need of. Lord, spare us not, Lord, but deal with us as a father with his children. As a father pitieth his children. Oh, may we know thy pity and thy mercy and thy favour. Remember us each then, most gracious Lord, with that favour that thou bearest unto thy people. Oh, visit me with thy salvation. Bless the children, we commit them into thy gracious hands. Lord, undertake for them. It's a confusing, troubling day in which we live, a day of much uncertainty. Lord, we pray that thou'd help them and bless them and be with them in this troubling time. Grant, Lord, that they may be brought to thee in prayer. Lord, those that go to school, we pray that thou would help them and bless them and be with them and equip them, Lord, to be in the world but not of it. May they dare to be a Daniel and dare to stand alone. Lord, do help them with the pressures there are to conform to the world around them. Keep them day by day. Bless those that are taught at home. Grant, Lord, wisdom and grace and patience to each parent. Bless them, Lord, together. Bless the families with thy presence. Lord, put thy fear in their hearts, that they may not depart from thee all the days of their lives. Help those of us who are parents to do that which is right in thy sight, to witness before our children a good witness. Lord, that we may not live a double life, but that we might be honest in the sight of all men, and Lord, that we might live according to thy holy word. Lord, do put the fear of the Lord in each heart. Oh Lord, and we pray, keep us day by day. Be with those, Lord, who work. Lord, thou knowest the concerns, the worries, the anxieties. Those in business, Lord, who maybe have uncertainties. Lord, we pray that thou wilt supply each need. May this time of the virus, Lord, be graciously used for the good of many souls. May even some of us look back, be brought to look back and to testify, there the Lord met me. Oh Lord, that thou wilt sanctify and use and apply the things we are living through for the good of our souls. May we know thee more. May we trust thee more. May we love thee more. Lord, do increase our faith. Lord, at times we confess our faith is small. Oh, we pray, Lord, increase it. Oh, we pray, lead us to thyself. Lord, may our prayer life be one of fervence. Lord, may we not be slack. Oh, may we pray without ceasing. Lord, may the church here be wrestling, travailing in prayer. Lord, may there be a bringing forth of children. Lord, according to thy grace, we pray for the congregation. Pour out thy spirit upon them. Lord, may there be the gathering in to the church. Lord, and a building up for thy honour and glory. There might be an establishing, settling and strengthening of the church of God here. Lord, thou hast planted here a garden. Oh, we do pray that thou would bless them, and may they be a fruitful garden. May the spices flow forth. Oh, we pray, do come and delight thyself in their midst. Lord, have mercy, we pray. Keep Satan from us each. Lord, how needful we are of thy gracious keeping day by day. Leave us not to be a prey to his temptations. For thou knowest, Lord, in our own selves we have no strength to resist. We're poor sinners, we're of the earth, earthy. Without thee we can do nothing. Lord, do remember us that we are but dust. Oh Lord, do be that wall of fire round about and the glory in the midst. So help us, we pray. Bless the deacons, Lord, who grant them all needed wisdom and grace in fulfilling their office here. And we pray, Lord, that thou art bless the church with unity, peace and love. May each esteem other better than themselves. Oh, we pray that thou glorify thyself here. And Lord, may the faithful preaching of the gospel ever be sounded forth from this pulpit. And Lord, we pray that it might please thee to preserve the church and congregation, Lord, in these times of much sinfulness and wickedness and idolatry in our day. May there be a cause of truth here to the end of time. O Lord, have mercy, we pray. Grant that there might be a seed to serve thee, to call thee the Redeemer blessed. So, Lord, have mercy upon them. Bless us, we pray, as we leave thy house of prayer this evening. Lord, may we each be blessed with a safe journey to our homes, and may we know thy abiding presence. Do help us then. Lord, do bless us. And Lord, we pray, cleanse us from all our sin. Lord, what we've failed to ask, we pray that thou grant. Thou knowest, Lord, our needs, Lord, before we ask. Lord, may we be bold. Oh, may we have faith, believing who it is that we approach to. Oh, grant us, Lord, a glimpse of thy majesty and holiness, Lord, that we might be bold in asking for those things, though impossible to us, yet with thee nothing is impossible. So remember us for good. Pardon all we've asked amiss. Take away all our iniquities. Receive us graciously. We ask, Lord Jesus, in thy name. Amen.
Hymn number 137. How happy is the little flock who, safe beneath their guardian rock, in all commotions rest. When war and tumult's waves run high, unmoved above the storm they lie, they lodge in Jesus' breast. Hymn 137.
Thank you.
turn with me to the chapter we read, Job chapter 19. With the Lord's help this evening, I'll speak to you from the opening part of verse 25. Job chapter 19, the opening part of verse 25. For I know that my Redeemer liveth. Job chapter 19, the opening part of verse 25. For I know that my Redeemer liveth. This is a testimony of, or statement of faith by Job. He says, I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God. It's remarkable when we consider Job's situation. He has lost everything. You turn with me to the first chapter and of this book, and you find that in verse 13 we read, and there was a day when his sons and his daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house. And there came a messenger unto Job and said, the oxen were ploughing. The oxen were ploughing and the asses feeding beside him, and the Sabians fell upon them and took them away. Yea, they have slain the servants with the edge of the sword, and I only am escaped. He lost his oxen. And the same day, in fact, while this first servant was giving his report, there came another and says, the fire of God is fallen from heaven and has burned up the sheep and the servants and consumed them, and he's the only one that's escaped. And we read in verse 3 that he had 7,000 sheep and 3,000 camels and 500 yoke of oxen and 500 she-asses and a very great household. And while he was speaking, there came another and said, the Chaldeans made out 3 bands and fell upon the camels and have carried them away, yea, and slain the servants, those that were looking after them, and only he has escaped. And so, really, all his possessions have been taken in one day. While he was yet speaking, there came another also and said, thy sons and thy daughters were eating and drinking in their eldest brother's house. And behold, there came a wind, a great wind from the wilderness, and smote the 4 corners of the house. And it fell upon the young men, and they are dead. And I only am escaped alone to tell thee. So all his children are now dead. You can't imagine, we can't imagine, can we, the distress of this man. He's lost everything. He's lost his livelihood. He's lost his family. And Job arose and shaved his head, fell down upon the ground and worshipped. I wonder if that would be your reaction, and would it be mine? Would we fall down on the ground and worship Bad news after bad news. Trial upon trial. Wave upon wave of trouble. It's not one thing after another. It's one thing on top of another. Finally, his family are taken from him. But in all this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. What a wonderful, merciful, gracious, and almighty Lord God Job had. One that could sustain him. One that could uphold him under these great, great trials. Truly, Job proved, didn't he? The eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. But you see, there was more. Because we read that Satan returned, didn't he? And the Lord said to touch him, touch his body, but to preserve his life. And Satan went forth, and he smote him with boils from the sole of his foot to the crown of his head. So the Job who has uttered this statement, we find him sitting in ashes, scraping himself, those sore boils, scraping himself with a broken piece of clay, piece of pottery. He's got nothing, and now he has sore boils from the sole of his foot to the crown of his head. But even despite all of this, his wife says to him, "Dost thou still retain thine integrity? Curse God and die." And Job says, "Thou speakest as one of the foolish women speaketh. What? Shall we receive good at the hand of God, and shall we not receive evil? In all this did not Job sin with his lips?" And here, this is a dear man of God. His friends have come. They sat down with him, didn't they? 7 days, was it? They saw that his distress was so great, not one of them could speak with him. They sat with him. But then they did begin to speak. What does Job speak of them? Miserable comforters. Miserable comforters. Oh, what a pathway this dear man of God was called to walk in. If ever you feel in your life, and I feel in mine, a little hard done by, may the Lord bring us back to this account of Job. If ever we feel that we've been harshly treated or dealt something that we didn't deserve, or we feel a little distressed with the trouble we've been brought into, may the dear Lord lead us back to this account. And may we truly read it and understand. Job says, I believe he's at rock bottom here. He said, "How long will you vex my soul and break me in pieces with words?" They had accused him of gross sins. They had told him that these things were through his own fault. Well, of course, beloved friends, we're sinners. Even the Lord's dear children are sinners. And the sins that we commit in this life, they do have consequences. For the child of God, they have consequences. What a mercy they don't have eternal consequences. What a favour, what a mercy that they don't have consequences in the life to come. But they do have consequences in this life. We cannot sin and sin lightly. David's sin had consequences. Solomon's sin had consequences. And so it is. Through the word of God, we find sin has consequences. But this dear man of God, rather than seek to comfort and encourage him, well, they turned and pointed the finger of blame and laid it at his door and spoke ill-advisedly to him. And, oh, he seems here to sink, really. But really, he didn't sink beneath those everlasting arms, did he? But he comes right down to there. He comes right down. What can he look for as evidence in his life that he's loved of the Lord, favoured of his God? Where can he look? Everything's been taken from him. His life, naturally speaking, his life is in ruins. He has no prospect. He's brought, if you like, to the end of everything. The psalmist says, only when my heart is overwhelmed. I wonder if a few of you know what that means, what that feels like. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. He came right down. But where did he come to rest? He came to rest in the arms of his Saviour. For I know that my Redeemer liveth. He doesn't say, for I see. He's not looking around and looking at all the things that are happening, and he sees that his Redeemer lives. He doesn't say, I hear that the Redeemer lives. Or liveth, he says, for I know. He's speaking from knowledge. I know that my Redeemer liveth. Oh, there's a resting place, isn't it? I wonder if you and I have that same resting place this evening. You know, we can be fair weather Christians, can't we? We can be quite content with going and coming to chapel and things in our lives going well. But how much real religion is there in our hearts? How much do we really know? I know. What do you, and what do we really know? You know, this knowledge isn't just treasured in the head. This isn't an intellectual knowledge only. There is an intellectual knowledge. There is an understanding. But everything in Job's life is shouting out loudly the opposite. You can be well assured that Satan was doing everything he could to make him curse his God, curse him to his face. That was the intent which he set out to do. He speaks of it in the first chapter and the second chapter. His desire was to make Job curse his God. So you can well imagine the assault, the busyness that Satan would have been plaguing this dear man of God as all of this bad news was pouring in. I know. This knowledge that looks beyond what is seen in the life. You see, if Job didn't know it, he wouldn't be able to say it at this point in his life. He's not speaking. He's not writing this, speaking this statement of faith, this testimony, sitting in his home, surrounded by everything, having everything restored. I know that my Redeemer liveth because he's given me back everything I once had and more. He's not like Solomon sitting in his grand palace who says, I know. He's got nothing. And he doesn't know. He doesn't know the end of it. He says, I know, for I know. And this is what underpins, and this is what the foundation is of his hope. I know that my Redeemer liveth. So we have this knowledge. The knowledge. The children's hymn in the hymn book says, the knowledge of Christ is more precious than gold. And so it is. The knowledge. Job here speaks of the Redeemer. And he says that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. Who's taught Job this? Who's instructed him? This is not gained, beloved friends, by viewing creation. This is the Spirit of the Lord. This is the inward teaching of God. Job here is looking. He's got knowledge. Knowledge of himself. Knowledge of his Redeemer. Knowledge of himself. Knowledge of God. I wonder, beloved friends, if we have knowledge like Job. Knowledge of who you are. What you are. That's real knowledge, isn't it? When the Lord reveals to us personally what we are by nature. When he reveals to us our sin in measure. We wouldn't be able to bear seeing all of it, would we? But when he reveals something of our sins to us. Reveals something of his law. What he expects and yet what we have given. A knowledge of our rebellious nature. Those things that we do which are in rebellion against God and his commands. Those things that go against what he has spoken. Our rebellious nature, our sinfulness, something of the depravity, the corruption of our hearts. I wonder if the Lord's begun with some of you to show you become a little disappointed with yourself. So it's a bitter thing, but it's a necessary thing. Hymn writer says, don't he? Sick of self. Sick of self. Are you sick and tired of yourself? Your constant failings and shortcomings. Constantly disappointing. That's one thing to disappoint your parents, isn't it? It's another thing to be shown that you disappoint the Lord God in heaven. Oh, that revealing of your sinfulness. How vital, how vital it is, you know, to truly see the Lord Jesus as precious. Because he is the Redeemer that is spoken of by Job. To truly see the Lord Jesus and to feel him precious. Oh, you must know something of your wretchedness and sinfulness. Oh, there's got to be that contrast between you and him. There's that prayer, isn't there? Show me myself. It's a good prayer. You younger ones, you children, show me myself. Pray the Lord will show you yourself. And then that second prayer, and show me thyself. Show me myself, and show me thyself. So that you might be sick of self, and then fond of him. Brought to look away from yourself, because you, why? Because you can't stand the sight of it. Oh, you can't stand what you see. You're not right. You're not ready. Oh, you're dressed in filthy garments. It's just a fig leaf covering that you have. Show me myself. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my ways, and see if there be any wicked way in me. And lead me in the way everlasting. Search me, O God, and know my heart, and try me and know my thoughts. What are the thoughts and intents of our hearts? Oh, how full of sin we are by nature. Job says, I know, for I know. I know. Well, the Apostle Paul, he knew something, didn't he? We read in 2 Timothy, he says, this is the chapter 1, verse 12, for the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know, what does he know? Whom I have believed. I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. I know whom I have believed. For I know, said Job, that my Redeemer liveth. Well, this vital knowledge, a personal knowledge of ourselves, our sinnership, that we are sinners. How can you confess your sin if you don't know that you're a sinner? The promise is there in the Word of God, if we confess our sins. But what a big if it is. It's if we know something of our sin, isn't it? There's the promise. Oh, those that are feeling destitute, those that are feeling far off through sin, if we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That which I see not, teach thou me. Oh, show me, Lord. Show me where I've sinned. Show me those things that are wrong in thy sight. Show me, Lord, that I might be brought to confess. Show me the way wherein I should walk. Oh, I'm walking in the path of sin. I'm walking in rebellion. I'm walking in that broad way which leads to destruction. Lord, shine a light on my path. Help me. Bless me with that view of that I might ponder the path of my feet. I might be brought to see I'm walking headlong. Oh, with countless others into that way of death and destruction. Lord, show me that path of life. Bring me. Turn me. Oh, Lord, shine. Lift up the light of thy countenance upon me. Shine that light into my heart. Reveal all the filth and the corruption. Lead me to that one who can cleanse, who can redeem. For I know that my Redeemer liveth. He says my. My mind goes to that blind man. And he was in the temple, after the Lord had opened his eyes, and the rulers of the temple were questioning him, weren't they? Who is it that opened your eyes? And he tried to speak, but he didn't really know what had happened. But he said, this one thing I know, that once I was blind, but now I see. Oh, the Lord had worked a blessed miracle on him and delivered him and given him his sight. He didn't know how, and he didn't even know who it was that had done it. Oh, but it was once. For once, whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. One thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see. And they cast him out of the temple, didn't they? And the Lord Jesus heard that they had cast him out, and when he had found him, he said unto him, dost thou believe on the Son of God? What a question. Dost thou believe on the Son of God? And he answered and said, who is he, Lord? Who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him? I know that my Redeemer liveth. Now, who is he, Lord? Knowledge. Now, grant me a knowledge of who is this Son of God. Who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him? And Jesus said unto him, thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee. And he said, Lord, I believe. And he worshipped him. Christ revealed. Christ made precious. His eyes were opened, his natural eye. But, beloved friends, his eye of faith is opened. And lays hold of the person of Jesus Christ by faith. Oh, that the Lord will give us that knowledge, a personal knowledge. You know, it's easy, isn't it, for us to look around at the world and point out all the faults and sins of the world. It's easy for us to point out all the sins of our country and those that we work with and those we mingle with and those in our towns. But it's that personal knowledge which is saving. Oh, what benefit will it do for us to know all the sins of others? Oh, it's that personal revelation. It's that personal sight that we need. It's the personal knowledge that we're sinners that we need. But we need more than just to know that we're sinners. Oh, that vital lesson it is to know that we're sinners. But knowing you're a sinner won't take you to heaven, and it won't take me to heaven. Only the precious blood of Jesus, only the knowledge of the Son of God, only that knowledge of the Lord Jesus as our Saviour and our friend, that living faith given in him, we might be brought to look away from ourselves and to look to him entirely. I know. Oh, that we might know. Know that all is well while life endure, and well when called to die. We might know ourselves as sinners, but we might know something of the Saviour. Convince us of our sins. Don't leave the work there, Lord. Oh, then lead to Jesus' blood. Oh, lead us to the remedy. Lead us to the answer. Lead us to the blessed solution for poor, wretched, needy, dying sinners. The precious blood of Jesus, the fountain opened for sin and for uncleanness. I know that my... You see, it's personal. It's knowledge, but it's personal. My Redeemer. David said, the Lord is my shepherd. Oh, do not be satisfied with anything less, dear friends, than a personal knowledge. I know that the Redeemer liveth. You can't die on that, can you? Can you take that great step into the unknown with a knowledge that the Redeemer liveth? Oh, it's my God, my Father, blissful name. Oh, may I call thee mine. May I, with sweet assurance, claim a portion so divine. My God, my God, I know that my Redeemer liveth. Oh, be not satisfied, beloved friends, with a knowledge that there is a Saviour. But is he your Saviour? Oh, there is a Saviour. The Lord Jesus Christ lived and died and rose again, that his people might be saved from their sins. Oh, wonderful to know something of it. But it's to know it that he died for you, that he came into this world to save sinners. And you can say, like Paul, of whom I am chief. My Saviour, my Good Shepherd, my Redeemer. What's a Redeemer? Well, it's one who redeems, one who buys back, one who pays, one who gives something in exchange for something else. That's a Redeemer. He redeems it, he buys it back, he pays the price. And Job, he knew enough of himself to know that he needed redeeming, needed recovering, needed restoring. And he couldn't restore himself, and neither can you. And you cannot recover yourself. You cannot make yourself right. You cannot blot out one sin. Oh, but this glorious Redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul, writing in the Colossians, chapter 2, verse 20. Sorry, Galatians. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. I want to read it, not quote it wrong. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. And this is it, who loved me. Who loved me. And gave himself for me. That's the gospel, isn't it? In three words. Himself for me. Himself for me. It's personal. Although the Church of God is a collective, a great company of souls, yet each one are brought to see that it was for them. For me he died. For me he rose again. For me he ascended into heaven. And for me he lives and reigns in heaven above. And for me he sits at the Father's right hand. And for me he makes intercession. And when my poor prayers are presented, it is for me that he obtains the answers. It's this personal religion. And it doesn't matter how young you are or how old you are. But it's to know something of a personal religion. Has he answered a prayer for you? Oh, can you say this evening? You can't maybe say my Redeemer liveth. Oh, but you could surely say my great high priest liveth. He does. If you have a testimony this evening of an answered prayer, it's because he lives. What a witness, even to you young children, when you pray a little simple prayer and the Lord graciously answers it. What a witness, what a testimony in your heart, in your life. That there in heaven sits one who hears your prayer. Your prayer. For I know that my Redeemer liveth. David, how many of his psalms were penned, weren't they, when he was at low and trying times? How many of his psalms were written when he was feeling oppressed, feeling overwhelmed, feeling at the ends of things? One of them, Psalm 56. And David has, it says over the top of the psalm, when the Philistines took him in Gath, and David is in trouble. And he says this, thou tellest my wanderings, put thou my tears in thy bottle, are they not in thy book? You know, how similar to dear Job. Oh, that my words were now written. Oh, that they were printed in a book. Well, David is in the same place in a way. When I cry unto thee, then shall mine enemies turn back. This is it. This I know. This I know. For God is for me. For God is for me. This I know. For God is for me, not against me, though everything seems to be against me. Maybe like Jacob, all these things are against me. He says, "For this I know." You know, it's got to come right back down. Back to the basics. What does he know? Oh, what can he look to in a day of trouble, in a day of uncertainty, in a day when things are changing, in a day of confusion? He can look to the one who changes not. "I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed." Where can we look in our day? A day of confusion, a day of trouble, a day of difficulty, a day of uncertainty, to the one who changes not. The certainty, the only real certainty, living Saviour. "For this I know, that God is for me." And if God be for us, who can be against us? And we know, Paul writing to the Romans, and we know, do we? Some here this evening do. You do know this, don't you? "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are the called according to his purpose." We know that all things work together for good. Oh, what sight we have to be given. We need our eyes opened. "Open the young man's eyes," said Elisha, "that he might see." When they were surrounded by the enemy, there is more for us than against us. But the servants just looked out the window, and the whole place is surrounded by the Syrian army. But there's more for us than against us. Well, there can't be. There's only two of us. You're never outnumbered, beloved friends, when God is on your side. "Open the young man's eyes, that he might see." And the Lord opened his eyes. Then he saw the mountains full of chariots and horses around Elisha. Oh, that we might have our eye of faith opened. Oh, that we might see the things that don't appear. Oh, that we might see and look beyond the natural things that we see. And look to the Lord who is in control of all things, whose wise, gracious hand is ordering all things. And though everything seems confused to us from our view, oh, yet to have a view of where he's sitting on the throne, the Lord God omnipotent reigning. He's not lost any power, not turned an eye from his people. He's working out his purposes, and they all are working together for their good. But you can't see it. I can't see it this evening. Lord, open my eyes that I might see, to look beyond, to look above, to look up, and to see the Lord reigning, ruling, overseeing, overruling all things, who's a wonder-working God, who has his people are ever in his sight. His ear is open to their cry. Oh, and his eyelids never rest. Oh, he's determined, beloved friends, to bring them all safely through this wilderness here below. Not one of his sheep will be lost. None can pluck them from my Father's hand. All the host of heaven are engaged to fulfill the purposes of God. Heaven and earth at his command, he waits to answer prayer, delivering his people, blessing them with faith, the eye of faith that looks beyond and above and over the, the troubles of today, and sees a God of all grace, of all mercy, a God of all comfort, a Father whose love cannot change, who doeth as he will in the armies of heaven, and none can stay his hand or say, "What doest thou?" His purposes are all wise and all gracious, and his acts toward his people are ever in love, not in anger. And he leads them forth by the right way, by the right way. I know that my Redeemer liveth. He's a living Saviour, a living Lord Jesus, who said, "Because I live, ye shall live also." Oh, you're to live in a body of sin. You're to live in this sin-cursed world. You're to live as lights shining in this dark world. You're to live in liberty. Because if the Son hath made you free, you shall be free indeed. To live as strangers and pilgrims. For they that, and you are to declare plainly that you seek a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Though this is not your rest, though your rest is that to come. You are a stranger, you are a pilgrim, you're travelling through this life. You're travelling home. And when that time comes for you to pass through the waters of death, certainly I will be with thee. Fear not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. You're not leaving home. Oh, you're travelling home. For I know that my Redeemer liveth. May God add his blessing. Amen.
God willing, Mr. Robert Field will preach next Lord's Day. There will be a prayer meeting on Monday evening, and Matthew Hyde is engaged to preach on Tuesday evening. Let us close with hymn 471. Prepare me, gracious God, to stand before thy face. Thy Spirit must the work perform, for it is all of grace. Hymn 471.
Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God the Father, and the fellowship and the communion of the Holy Spirit rest and abide with us each, now and forevermore. Amen.